Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at another portrait tonight. We've been looking at character studies, starting back in Genesis, working our way through the Bible. Look at different individuals or maybe groups of people sometimes and seeing what we can learn from them and what God can teach us. We've been calling it portraits. We're going to look at the account of Naaman tonight. Naaman's miraculous healing. And as we'll find, he was a man who was had leprosy, and God healed him of that. But it really, as we read through it, it kind of took a village to get Naaman to the place of where he needed to be, to get him into that river where he was went under in that river and was healed. It really took the influence of a lot of people around him to get him to that point. And so we're going to look at a portrait of influence tonight from Naaman. We're going to start reading in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll read down through verse 14. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan, in the Jordan River, 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can have the word of God, and so we ask for your wisdom now, and we pray that you would direct our thoughts and our hearts into your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us the things that we need to know tonight. Help us to change in the ways that we need to change, to be encouraged in the ways that we need to be encouraged. And may you be exalted tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A portrait of influence. You know, when we were down in Florida a week ago, we went mini golfing, right? Because when you're on vacation and you go to a tourist place, you have to go mini golfing. But mini golf is different than normal golf. I used to, you know, do some golfing in high school and then into college, but I haven't since then. It was just too frustrating for me. But the difference between normal golf and mini golf is that in mini golf, there's obstacles that are part of it, right? That are part of like the putting aspect of golf. Normally in regular golf, you don't find like, it's not the Masters and there's like a windmill in the middle of the third green, you know? But you very well could find that in mini golf, and that's the fun of playing mini golf. And, you know, that's what you'll find. You'll find rocks that are in the way or windmills or lighthouses or different things like that, right? You'll have all these obstacles, and that's what makes it fun. But eventually, when you're playing mini golf, you'll probably reach a hole that is, like maybe it's dog-legged, right? It turns, or there's something in the way, and so you'll probably find yourselves needing to bounce the ball off some obstacle. Right, and so you're looking at that dog-legged course going, if I bounce it off that rock, And if I have my angles correct, which we probably usually don't, we're like, if I have my angles correct, right, I'll bounce it off that rock, and then it'll go right in the hole, right? I can't miss if I hit it in the right spot, right? And that's the fun of it. So you try and do that, and you bounce it off that, right? And that's usually how we play mini golf, with bouncing that ball off different things, and eventually it gets near to the hole, or hopefully in the hole under, like, I don't know, 8 times hitting the ball or something, right? But you're hoping, like, if it gets a good bounce, it'll knock it closer to the hole. And that whole trajectory of the ball bouncing on multiple things to finally get where it needs to go, that's how I picture the story of Naaman. Because we know where Naaman needs to get. He starts as a leper in verse 1. That's what we find out about him. He was all of these things in Syria, captain of the host, great man, honorable, mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. That's our starting point with Naaman. We get to the end of the story where we want Naaman to be, the destination, and that is that Naaman is cleansed from his leprosy, right? So starting point, he's a leper. End point, we want him to be cleansed from leprosy. But the path that he goes from one to the other, it's not like a straight path. What we find is that there are a number of people in his life that have to redirect Naaman, that kind of give him a push in the right direction, that help influence Naaman to make the right choice to get to where he needs to be. And I want to take that tonight and look at us and the influence that we can be on the people around us. Because this is the way God wants to use us in the lives of other people, is to be that positive influence. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, it says that charity, one of the things it says about charity or love is that it hopeth all things. And it's got the idea of wanting the best for someone. And that's what love does, right? When you love someone else, you want the best for that person. And as we are here as whether it's church members or members of our family, with our extended family or neighbors or coworkers or whatever, in all of those relationships, as we love other people like God tells us to love other people, this is what we want. So we can see them where they are, and then we say, okay, I want to help them get to where God wants them to be. I want to help them be the person God wants them to be. And we want to be then that influence, right? That rock that's there that they bounce off of, and we bounce them in the direction that they need to go, if we could kind of use that illustration. We want to be willing for God to use us in the way that God sees fit. And God often uses people to influence other people positively and for him. So what I want to do from 2 Kings chapter 5 is look at a couple ways God uses people to influence Naaman in this passage, then take some application from that. So here's the first way. The first thing we see is the influence of just information. The influence of information. So in verse 1, we find out that Naaman's a leper. He's in Syria, so he's not Jewish. He's not an Israelite. He's a Syrian. And in verse 2, we find out that he has this maid who has been captive from Israel, and she's now a servant to Naaman's wife. And in verse 3, she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And she passes on just this little bit of information that there is a prophet in Israel that's able to heal Naaman from this disease. Now, I assume that Naaman had kind of done all the doctor things that he could in Syria and had consulted with the doctors of that time and maybe even tried whatever they would prescribe for leprosy back then. But there was something he didn't know, something that needed to be brought to his attention. What he didn't know was that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal, that had the power of God. And so God puts someone in his life, this young girl, God puts her in Naaman's life for this purpose, that she would share something with him that he did not know, information he didn't have. There's people around us, people in our life, that don't have the information that they need, that need to know something about the truth, that need to know something about God, and they don't know it. And God has put us there to share that information. And that by us just sharing information with them, that it would influence them in that right direction. You know, we see this in the book of Acts as the gospel goes out and as it's being preached, right? In Acts chapter 8, if we're familiar with this, we'll turn there. Acts chapter 8, we'll read a couple of verses. In Acts chapter 8, we're introduced to a man who's called the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's riding in his chariot. He's returning from Jerusalem, going back to his home. And he's in his chariot and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. So in one sense, he has all the information, right? Because he has that portion of scripture, but he doesn't understand it. There's some things that he just doesn't understand. Information that really he's missing. He doesn't understand what it means. So God sends Philip, a believer who has that information, to this man. So in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is what he needed. He had a lot of information there, but he was missing a really key part. And he asked that question. He goes, "Who is this talking about?" And Philip goes, "Let me tell you." Philip goes, "I know who it is. You don't. Let me share that information with you." And it was Jesus changed this man's life, right? Because the eunuch, he trusts in Jesus Christ, and then he's baptized. He gets saved. That changes his life. Jesus transforms his life. But it took Philip sharing this information that pushed him in the right direction, that pushed him toward faith specifically in Jesus Christ for his salvation. There's another account in Acts chapter 16, which is Paul and Silas, they're in a jail in Philippi, and God brings an earthquake and rocks the prison and opens the door, and as they come out, they are encountered by the jailer, and the jailer asks them, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" There was something he did not know. And God brought along his path two men that did know, that had that information. And it was just by them sharing that the jailer and his whole house trust in Jesus Christ and are saved. Their life is changed because of Jesus Christ. But what helped that was the influence of these two men who had that information. Simply them sharing the gospel gave this man and then his house the information that they needed to make the choice that they needed to make. And sometimes it's people in our life that just don't know. They just don't have the information. And we do. We've been studying the Word of God. We know the gospel. We know a lot of the Word of God. And what the knowledge that God has given to us can be what they are missing, what they are looking for, what they need to know. And maybe it's us telling them something they've never heard before. They go, "Man, I've never heard that. I've never heard that Jesus died on the cross for me. I've never heard that I was a sinner on my way to hell." Maybe it's that they've never heard that and that they need to know that. Maybe it's them hearing it when they're in a place to receive it. I think we've found this, haven't we? That you talk to someone and you're like, "I know they've heard this before, but they weren't ready to receive it at that time." And maybe it's just the right time now for them where they're in a place to understand and accept that information. But God brings us across people's path just to tell them what they need to know. It could be the gospel. It could be just maybe a particular verse that they need at that time. Like a Christian that's going through something and they just need that verse. But God can use us to adjust their path. Maybe it's like something that changes how they're thinking about something. Maybe it's something that they need to then understand. But in some way, God can use us to just kind of nudge them in the right direction. In the case of the gospel, that's like a 180-degree turn, Right? That's a complete opposite. Maybe in regard to just encouraging someone, it's just a slight degree change, but it's what they need and it's what God wants for them. And tonight I wonder who God has put in our life for this purpose, where God has put us together at this time just to share some information with them, just to tell them the thing that they need to hear for this time. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is sharing information. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of God, and we are to shine that knowledge out. So God can use us to influence others just by sharing information, the influence of information. But there's another way. So if we go back to 2 Kings chapter 5, this young girl takes this information and she shares it through her mistress to Naaman. And then that information gets to the king of Syria, where the king of Syria now finds out about this, and he is a friend with Naaman. So the king of Syria writes a letter to the king of Israel. It gets all diplomatic and political. So the king of Syria writes this letter to the king of Israel about he's sending Naaman, that Naaman's going to get healed in the land of Israel. And the king of Israel gets the letter in verse 7 and goes, oh no. He's like, I can't heal him. Who am I to be able to heal Naaman? And he comes down in the end of verse 7 and goes, I think he's trying to pick a fight. I think he's going to send Naaman. And when I can't heal Naaman, he's going to like, well, now you're in trouble. And like, I think he's, you know, trying to pick a fight. But then Elisha hears about this. And he says, all right, send Naaman to me and I will be able to heal him. So Naaman comes to Elisha and Elisha sends a messenger out to him in verse 10 and says, all right, Naaman, go to the Jordan River. You're going to dunk in the river 7 times. And when you come up the 7th time, you will be cleansed. Verse 11, Naaman in his pride kind of goes, Jordan River is a dirty river. Why do I want to go there? There are nicer rivers. He goes in verse 11, I assumed he would do something, you know, really cool, you know, like he would come out and wave his hands and say some incantation and then I would be healed in this like really neat sort of ceremony. But instead, he doesn't even come out to say hi. He just sends his servant out, tells me to go dip 7 times in this dirty river. And the end of verse 12, he turned and went away in a rage. He's like, I'm not doing this. I'm out of here. Right? So this is where we leave Naaman. And then we have verse 13, and I call this the influence of encouragement, because his servants come to him, and in verse 13 they say, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, than when he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan and he's cleansed. Sometimes people know what's right to do. They just need some encouragement to do it. Sometimes that's what they need. How many times have we sat down in the dentist chair, right? And we get asked that question that we know is coming. Have you flossed? We can't sit there and go, flossing? I've never heard of that before. You know, I did not know flossing was a thing. You could try it, maybe. Tell me how it goes. We're in America. We know about flossing. We've been hearing about flossing since we were a little child, right? That we were supposed to floss on a consistent basis. It's one of those things that we know we're supposed to do it, but probably most of us, we just end up not doing it. Until if you're like me, like the hour before you're about to go to the dentist, right? So like we know we're supposed to floss. It's just one of those things where God, I just don't do it, right? How many times is it that we're in our car and we're driving and we watch the odometer creep, the mileage go up, and then we have that little sticker, you know, from the oil change place, and we watch as the mileage goes over that, and we're like, I'll get to it eventually. I'm not the only one who does this, right? And then it like gets a little higher and higher, and then eventually we do it, but we're like, I know I need to do it by that mileage, but, you know, we just kind of put it off, and sometimes we're like that with the right decision, where it's not that we don't know what we're supposed to do. It's not that someone is missing information. They know what's right to do. It's just something's holding them back from doing it. They just haven't made that decision. Naaman knew what he was supposed to do. He just didn't want to do it. He had been told exactly what he needed in order to be healed, but I don't know, he just didn't want to do it, and he had his reasons, but his servants come to him in verse 13, and they just almost have this intervention. And they're like, my father, listen, just go do it. Just go wash in the river and be clean. You'd do something if it was harder. Why not just do that? They talk him into it. They just encourage him to do what he knows is right to do. And I think we've all been there at times spiritually where we've been, you know, kind of maybe struggling with a decision. And maybe it was like a message that we heard where like a preacher stood up and said something from the Word of God. And we're like, yeah, I knew I was supposed to be doing that. Maybe it was just brought to our attention. We're like, yeah, that is right. And we just needed that moment of encouragement to push us in the right direction. Maybe it was like a conversation we had with someone. And we like opened up with them and they were like, hey, this is what you need to do. And they just encouraged us to do what's right. And it was like, that's what we needed. Just that godly encouragement to do what we already knew was right to do. God can use us that way in someone else's life. Just to be that encouragement. It's not that they need to know anything new. It's just they need someone to encourage them to do what they already know is right to do. And when someone is like right on the edge, all it takes is a little push, a little nudge for them to go in that right direction. If you've ever seen those people that do those like amazing domino creations where they line them all up and then they make this like really cool pattern and all of that, right? They get it all set up, but then it just takes a nudge in the right direction and then the whole thing plays out, right? It's just that one domino that has to fall and everything carries on after that. But it could be all set up, right? But until that first domino falls and falls correctly, it's just going to stay there and nothing else is going to happen. We're not going to see that result. Someone has to come along, and it probably shouldn't be any of us, right? It should be somebody who knows what they're doing. But it just takes that one person to come along and just push that domino in the right direction, right? If they push it in the wrong direction, nothing's going to happen, right? But if they push it in the right direction, then everything falls into place after that. And sometimes that's what people need, is they just need a slight push in the right direction, and then we'll watch God work and do amazing things. God can use us to do that. And Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And the idea is a word, the right word, right time, can be a beautiful thing and a thing of value. And a word of encouragement, whether it's like sharing a verse of scripture, telling someone you're praying for them or something like that, or just speaking an encouraging word to them, God can do a lot with that. God can take us and do something valuable and do something beautiful just from something simple. It can really make a difference in a person's life. So the influence of information and encouragement. You know, this story would, often the focus is on Naaman in this story and Elisha. And they definitely play a big part in that. It was Elisha doing the miracle and then Naaman making that choice. But the story really would be very different. And maybe it wouldn't even be included if it weren't for these other people that were there to influence Naaman. If it weren't for this little girl that God had put in Naaman's life to share some information that he did not know, it'd be a very different story. It'd be a very different story if we didn't have the servants in verse 13 who stopped him and said, listen, just go do it. If they weren't there to encourage Naaman to do what's right, he maybe would have walked angrily all the way back to Syria and nothing would have happened if it weren't for them. We see a decision that Naaman made, and then we see all the people that were there to help push him in that right direction. And we can be that influence for good in someone else's life. And maybe God will use us to help bring about like a dramatic change. Maybe it's just in little ways that maybe we don't even notice, just encouraging someone. And maybe it's not even in the sense of them changing direction, maybe it's just giving them a push to keep going in the right direction. They're already headed in the right direction. Maybe they're just starting to slow down a little bit without us even knowing. And just our encouragement can help them to continue to go forward. But that's what we want to do. That's who we want to be. That's the way we want God to use us in people's lives. One of the problems I ran into when I was mini golfing is that there are times when I had it all planned out. You know, I had my angles and I had my lines, and I was like, you know, even taking into account for like the slope and all these things, leaves on the ground, you know, taking into account all of that. And so I was, you know, purposely intending to bounce the ball off a certain rock or something. And I'm like, if I bounce it off that, then it'll, because the angle of the rock, you know, it'll bounce it in this direction. I've got it all planned out. But the rock face, you know, it's not, maybe not the perfectly smooth rock face. And one of them had, it was sort of like a retaining wall that had those, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a flat rock, but it's kind of angled in multiple ways. And I'm like, all right. But, you know, I have it all planned out. I got to ask Tim what they're called. I don't know. I have it all planned out, right? And then I hit it, but it bounces it in the wrong way, right? Because it's got a part of that rock face that's not angled the way I thought it was or whatever. And so I hit where I want it to, and all of a sudden my ball is not going in the direction I want it to. It is no longer going toward the hole like I expected. It is now going the opposite direction. No matter what, let's make sure we're positive influences. No matter what, let's make sure that how we live our life, the things that we say, how we deal with people, that we're being a positive influence, that we are pushing people in the right direction. Let's make sure we're sharing truth. Let's make sure we're being an encouragement to people. And then we leave it with the Lord. We don't control people. We can't make them choose something, and it's not our responsibility to make them choose things. But let's at least angle ourselves in such a way that we're going to push people toward Jesus Christ. In all the ways that we live our life, let's just make sure we're a positive influence on people. That's what we see in Naaman's life. We see all the people that God used in a direct way, and then we see these influences kind of in the background, just directing Naaman and pushing him in the right direction. Let's be that sort of person. Let's be a portrait of influence in other people's lives, that when people interact with us and they come in contact with us, that the result is we pushed them toward Jesus Christ. Maybe we've told them something they didn't know, maybe shared some information, maybe just encouraged them to do what's right. But let's ask God to do that. Let's ask God to help us be the influence that He wants us to be and push people toward Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank You tonight for the people that we've had in our life. Lord, the people in our past that have been this influence for us, that have shared the gospel with us, that have been an encouragement to us. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that You've used, and we pray You'd help us to be used, that You would use us, help us to be an encouragement. Help us to be focused on helping other people. Lord, that You would use us. Give us eyes to see these opportunities. Lord, to not be blind to them, to not miss them. Help us to see the ways that You want to use us in other people's lives. And Lord, may You be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.